the Sosemis in the sixth parsha, shtels on the kasha that there are, we know that the Torah in this week's parsha delineates the story of the Klal Yisrael going to Har Gerizim and Har Eval and giving and getting the brachos and the klolos. But it's interesting that the Torah presents the klolos, and because I learned out that every klolos was first said in the language of a bracha. Why weren't the brachas said explicitly, and the klolos were said explicitly? Even more so, why were, where if you have to say one of them explicitly and infer the other one from it, so write the brachas, and we'll infer the klolos seems to be a nicer way of doing it. So the Sosemis says in his Mahalach that the real Yisrael bracha, the brush that gives bracha, is in the hidden worlds, in the hidden reality, which is much greater than the physical manifestation that we see in front of us. So the klolos are really a beaker for Klal Yisrael, beaker by Lamazet. The real scar for Klal Yisrael, beaker is Elam Haba. The real bracha is by Elam Haba. So for the brachas are only implied because they're not so visible, whereas the klolo is much more visible, and that's what's said explicitly. I was wondering if you can take this idea maybe just with maybe a little of homiletic license, the darshan a little bit. It says many times in our lives the brachas are hidden. The klolos seem to be pretty obvious to us, the things don't go in a positive way, etc. A lot of times those end up being the biggest brachas that we have. So we're getting tremendous bracha and we don't even realize it. Sometimes I guess something positive happens and we'll say, oh, it's really klolos for us. But in general, that's not the reality. But the opposite, everything is a source of chizuk, of growth, of help. Everything has an element of bracha in it. So the klolos are always the more obvious point, and even the klolos have been in something positive. Sometimes the situation which the person is in pain and suffering is the greatest impetus for the person to change and to grow and develop. So it ends up that the best thing that ever happened to him, quote unquote, is the fact that he has this difficulty. So instead of looking at it as a klolo, really it's a bracha. That's not going to be obvious on the surface. He continues and he says that the psukim continue that the pasuk is "Umestroncha Hashem Alekecha Elyon Uvolecha Abrochas Visigucha," means that the Rosh Hashanah gives Klal Yisrael, that they make Klal Yisrael as the Elyon, as the higher nation, as the greater nation, and that's when bracha comes to us because of the greatness. So something which is commensurate with the greatness of the person is by definition is going to something which is more delicate. You need to give if somebody does something good for you, he may seem to you in a different way, you don't give him a matana back, you give him kavod, you give him respect. Respect is ephemeral, it's not, there's nothing, you can't touch it. But that's considered a much greater. And even if you do give matana, the point of the matana is a vehicle to show your feelings, your emotions, your respect, etc. That it happened. So be'ikar, it's not the physical action; it's that which it represents. We find the verbal language versus nonverbal language. The verbal language is more obvious, but the nonverbal language is what they constantly point out is that's really where the real message is. Again and again, we see this idea that which is not visible, even though it's not visible, is much more powerful and much more significant. So that's why the brachas have that milo, by not being obvious, that indicates that there's a much greater significance to them than to the klolo. Have a good Shabbos.